The Apostle Paul writes, "Those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life." I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When I was 7 years old, I got into my first school fight, and as you know it, it was over a girl named Arden Winslow. Now, I had always prided myself on being good, obeying the rules, and not disappointing my parents. Yet when Jason Zaney started taunting me over Arden, I retaliated by taunting back. The 7-year-old taunts started to escalate, and eventually words turned into knuckle sandwiches. His attempt to deliver me one of those sandwiches, which he was actually famous for, propelled his body forward, delivering up the lunchroom chocolate milk, pouring all over his face. Now, rushing across this room was Mrs. Smith, the lunch lady. She started writing our names on the naughty list and called down to the principal's office, Miss Haley. Jason and I were promptly escorted to the jeers of derision by the entire second grade. Now, Jason was used to, he was pretty used to being in Mrs. Haley's office. He visited every day, sometimes twice a day. He was well accustomed and knew all the formalities of the process. I, in contrast, I was pretty scared. The only time I saw Miss Haley was actually in church on Sunday. She sang in the church choir and was pretty good church friends with my parents. Fear reigned or had dominion over me. I had broken the law. I'm in the principal's office now. And now Miss Haley and my parents were going to find out that I'm the new troublemaker in school. After a reprimand, I was sent back to the classroom, and Jason, well, let's just say he was comfortable in the chair next to Miss Haley's desk. Even though I, the first-time offender, got off relatively light, the thought that my parents would find out what I did reigned and had dominion over me. I could imagine the disappointment on their faces. The following Sunday came and went without incident, that is, without Miss Haley saying anything to my folks, yet I started having trouble sleeping. The guilt of not telling my parents, fear of what my parents would think or do, all gripped my young life. At night, rather than my usual dreams of playing first base and hitting a couple of balls over the fence, my dreams consisted of that dark corner in Mrs. Haley's office. Pretty soon, my parents realized that something was deeply amiss in their child, and they had that loving talk that only parents would have when they know that there's something deeply wrong. And at that moment, I started to let everything out. I confessed, and I was relieved. It felt that all the burdens of my life rolled away with that one confession. You see, what reigned over my little 7-year-old brain was a sense of fear and guilt. And now being able to confess provided a sense of rest and hope that whatever I do, my parents will still love me. The Apostle Paul offers a midrash or commentary on sin and redemption in the book of Romans. His epistle to the believers of Rome emphasizes the role of grace, the unmerited favor that we receive through Jesus Christ. Paul sets up a dichotomy between ritual practice or law and grace. The distinction that he offers is between juridical obligation and social contract obligation versus the experience of freedom in God. Through Adam's free choice, humanity became separated from God and from the life-giving and peaceable dwelling called the Garden of Eden. The consequence of Adam's choice led to a life of being exiled from the beauty of a flourishing and a creative garden, now being bound by a sense of guilt, fear, and shame. Dealing with guilt led to the establishment of laws and obligations, which surely are beyond one's ability to follow to a T. In contrast to the first Adam, Paul offers that Jesus becomes the prototype of a redeemed humanity. In Christ, the way to God is not through fear, bound by moral obligation and duty, but through relationship, through grace and mercy. Thomas Aquinas draws on the power of Christian grace. He writes, "The power of Adam's trespass must not be considered the equal of Christ's gift. When sin came from the weakness of human will, grace comes from the immensity of God's divine goodness, which exceeds human will, especially as human will is weak." In our gospel today, Jesus, having been baptized, you know, the mark of his loving relationship and submission to God, he's sent out by the Spirit into the wilderness. And in the wilderness is a consummate battle between divine goodness and evil. What reigns over Jesus' life and ministry is not a sense of moral duty or obligation. What reigns is a loving devotion and relationship to God. Amidst all the temptations for food, security, and worldly power, Jesus is able to remain consistent in his devotion to God. Jesus prioritizes a relationship with God, setting his first priority on worshiping the Lord his God and serving him only, over and above strictly following the dictates of ritual. What reigns in Jesus is an undying focus of loving devotion to God. And this comes out. It comes out of a sense of embedded relationship, seeing beyond the formal or human constructs of ritual that attempt to relate to God through mediated ways. This is where Paul's thesis in the Epistle of Romans holds weight. Through Jesus, grace and righteousness reigns. The life of redemption is a life where grace and righteousness reigns over us rather than guilt and shame. When we allow grace rather than duty and obligation to reign over us, we become wholly at rest in a God who loves. So this Lent, we are invited to experience God's grace. A life of grace is cultivated by living into the spiritual disciplines, not out of a sake of moral obligation or out of a sense of ritual practice, but out of a sense of desiring a deeper relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to examine what reigns over you in your life. Does a sense of guilt and shame, the same guilt and shame that led Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis to hide themselves from God? Or does a sense of freedom and love rooted in Jesus reign over your life? If your life is dominated by a sense of guilt and shame, I invite you to use the church's spiritual disciplines to help you in experiencing grace and liberation by unburdening yourselves. One of these disciplines is the sacramental rite of the reconciliation of the penitent. It's in your prayer book. You may know this rite by another name, the rite of confession. While we have general confession that we recite most Sundays or during the daily office, I know that there are many sitting here who suffer from the deep burden of a specific or a series of specific unconfessed sins that fetter you. If you happen to be in this predicament, I invite you to approach a priest so that one of us can hear your confession, so that you can unburden your heart and be released from the sin by being absolved by God. Just like I was burdened by fear and a sense of failure as to whether I'm measuring up to my parents' expectation, just as I was set free, I invite you to be set free through confession. If my earthly parents were so forgiving, the God who has made each and every one of us, who has called you as his own, imagine how infinitely more he loves us and he wants to call us his own. So if you'd like one of us to hear your confession, please connect with us. Make an appointment. As we prayed in our psalm today, happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is put away. So, beloved, once again I ask you, what has dominion or reigns over you? What grips your soul? As you reflect on this question this week, allow me to invite you to join with me in the prayer of the great hymn writer Isaac Watts. If you know the words, please join me.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen.
Thank you.